the Rove and Sam catch up.
Let's get ready to catch up, all thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. Now, Prezi lets you buy gift cards from major retailers. You can send them instantly or send them whenever you choose. Just buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au and you could win a $250 gift card. LTPM 160-1177.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
Sam is impressed with my anally retentive photography collecting and categorising.
What a start.
Oh, my God. It's amazing, actually.
Safe to say?
Oh, you can... you.
Oh, we're waving off some lovely ladies who've come to visit on tour. They're interning with a marketing agency and they've been brought in to sort of find out how radio works, which is probably why they're leaving because they've just gone. Oh, sorry, we've come to the wrong one.
Oh, well, I hope you had a great time, ladies.
Thanks for coming. Enjoy. They're really lovely. You probably want to say, Jonesy and Amanda are probably the ones you want to go check out. They know what they're doing. They are schlick as a whistle.
Exactly.
No, but when we had the Irwins in yesterday.
No.
Hey, go. Go on, sit.
This is what happens.
Here we go.
Rove goes, oh, that reminds me of a time. And then, like, literally 5 seconds later, he's brought up the photo. I'm like, how do you do that? And I never ask because, you know, it's none of my business how you sort your thing out. But you do it all the time. You're like, oh, that's like a photo of Taz. There. And I'm like, how did you do that? Or you'll be like, oh, that's like, look, there's an animal that I can't pronounce. You know, things like that. And I go, and I'm like, how do you do that? And then the Irwins came in yesterday.
Yeah. And so I was asking Robert, but this is how it came up. Because I was asking Robert about it, if he's got a new dinosaur statue. Because I think from when he turned 10, they got him, he's a dinosaur fan. And they started with... one called a Sarcosuchus, which is a prehistoric crocodile, enormous thing, terrifying. And so they made what was a life-size statue of one, which is at Australia Zoo, and that was basically the zoo's present to him, and then it's kind of been every year since. So I was just checking on whether he had one for this year, which he does. It'll be, I won't say, just in case I'm not meant to. Oh, no, his birthday's today. It's a pterosaur.
Yeah.
So flying one. And so I've gone, I wanted to mention to Sam or show Sam and give an idea of it.
Yeah.
So in like, about 10 seconds, I've just gone straight down to a folder, grabbed a photo and just went, here's me inside the mouth of the giant dinosaur crocodile.
It's crazy.
And Sam just went, like, how do you just quickly go boom like that?
You do it all the time. But you have like...
I am official documentarian for the family. And that includes like my siblings and their kids. My... brother, they had it like their computer crashed. They lost all their photos.
Oh, no.
So my sister-in-law has gotten in touch with me and basically said, is there any chance you have the photos from our daughter, Ruby's cousin, her second birthday? I was like, yeah, what do you need? I said, I have your photos and my – I have any photo that anybody took on the
That's
day.
That's amazing, Rove.
I will at the end say – Dropbox them to me. Nowadays, like even Taz's folks were visiting the last couple of days.
Mm.
They left yesterday. Before they did, I said, open up your phone, any photo you've taken while you've been here of you guys with Ruby or us with Ruby or any videos you've taken, airdrop, boom, I've got them all.
That's amazing.
So I've also got – so then it's also not every shot is – because sometimes if I'm taking the photo, I'm not in any of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I've got a lot of shots of – Taz with Ruby because I go, oh, look at them being adorable, my ladies.
Snap.
Snap, snap. And then go, oh, I don't have any.
Yeah.
So, so then I've spent so much time.
That's really good.
Putting them in.
Do you put like a little hashtag so you can just search the tag and be like Australia Zoo, for example, and all your photos from when you visit Australia Zoo come up.
Exactly. I could find you in a heartbeat and just call up any picture I need of you.
That's amazing.
From, you know, whatever you might want, Sam. Like if you went missing and needed me to find pictures of you, look, that's every picture of you that I have.
Oh,
Disneyland.
Memories.
Look at that. That's us coming back from doing the morning show with Larry Emder.
Oh, great, Rove.
Us on our ski trip.
That's you fantastic.
And Keith Urban. You post surgery.
Hey, that's cool, Rove. That is an adorable photo of me, just FYI.
It is cool. That's it.
Mate.
It's like, you don't want a picture. What do you want? What do you want? Christmas is coming. What do you want? Do you want the picture of, I don't know. Let me see what I've got. Bloody me and Bono at Christmas time. Oh, I don't know. Probably don't want that one. Or do something else. Anyway, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But it's like a full-time job of just, like, there were hours that I have to spend at night just like, this is Sam's face. This is where it was taken. Labor, labor. But it's a labor of love, and I'm very happy that I've done it.
Good for you, Ro.
And that's how I get to show you pictures of giant crocodiles.
Tap, snap.
This is our penultimate chitty chat.
I'm guessing that means the second last.
That is not the last.
Oh.
So tomorrow's obviously the last.
Close.
Now, Sam's got an email. Now, I haven't read the email. Do you want to save the email for tomorrow? Is this a great way to wrap it up, or do you want to just read it now?
I don't really mind. What do you think, Jamie?
Maybe.
Well, tomorrow Jamie's cutting a best of together of the year, so.
What?
Yeah, the best of the year,
that's
Jamie.
What you're
that's
do
so kind.
Tomorrow you're going to cutting together a best of, so we're not recording a chitty chat tomorrow because Jamie's going to cut together a best of.
That's a great idea.
No.
Jamie.
Well, we're off at lunch.
Hey.
That's a lovely present
that's
for
what
you
you're
to
doing.
Do. You could do it today, actually, so you can still make it to lunch.
Hmm. Well, I mean, what do you want to do?
Yeah, but I'll be here all night.
Guys.
Yeah. I don't understand what the problem is.
Mate, I'm here all the time. You're joking?
Are you kidding me? You're gone by 10.
Hey, do you know what happens when you have a job on the radio? Your job is to be 24/7, I'm from the radio.
What were you doing yesterday being 24/7 from the radio? Are we allowed to say? I can say this much, and you can fill in the blanks. You were off having a photo shoot for a promotion. Not a promotional thing, but a something that will be happening.
I do, and the photos were really nice.
It might be
and I don't
glossy.
Like, I don't even say that about myself, but it's nice.
Have you seen them? Can I have a look?
If you can.
Okay. I probably already got them here, Sam. Sam Frost.
Okay, I'll show you this one. They're not in order. Oh, here we go. Here's the first one.
There we go. I'll describe what I'm looking at. Wow. Has Sash seen these?
Yeah, I sent them to him.
That's going in the bank.
I sent them to him yesterday.
That is going in the goddamn bank. Jamie, check that out. It's, is that a pantsuit? Excuse my ignorance.
Yeah, it's like a jumpsuit with pants. It's
okay,
a pantsuit.
So that's a pantsuit.
Sorry, beg my pardon.
But off the shoulder, who did your hair and makeup?
Heidi.
You look like rock chick. Cool.
It's Heidi.
The Chitty Chatters will know Heidi. I think she was for one of our Chitty Chats.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And then this one.
Sitting on the stool, the chair the wrong way around. Looks really cool. Oh, that's, hey, I'm approachable.
That's pity.
That's really cute.
Anyway,
they are going to be incredible photos, which will be out before the end of the year, I reckon.
12th of Jan, 12th of December.
12th of December.
Or 16th of December.
Right. Why do the magazines... here's this. That'll be like a January issue. Mm. Why do they do that?
I don't get it either.
If you get a magazine is on the stands in November, it'll say December issue.
I don't know.
You're not talking about things that haven't happened. Oh, you know what?
Just another...
Because if it's the ladies' mags, they kind of made it. Yeah, this is the bullshit that we've got for next week.
Yeah, it's just another lie.
We've made it up anyway. What does it matter?
Yeah.
What does it matter? Well, we've got still plenty of stuff to do as we wrap up. Yesterday we did some choir singing.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
There's a lot of weird things happening in these last couple of days.
I
if everyone just
know
tries to shove stuff
was.
In.
But I don't know what it was.
It sounded
apologize.
Good.
Did it?
I think it did.
I don't know.
You'll be surprised.
I'll save Shay's email for tomorrow. It's
I reckon
a beautiful
we'll
one.
Do that. I think that'll be a nice way to wrap up the year. Oh,
Shay, if you're listening, it made me cry.
And it also saves me from doing a lot of work.
Jamie,
thanks, Shay.
Put together
still,
a best of,
it.
You lazo.
Yeah, lazo?
Yep. Hey, we need to do a big call of fame tomorrow, I reckon, in the show.
Well,
like a big hilarious one, just lulls.
Absolutely.
So many lulls. We should do a best of Jinx, a best of. I love montages, guys. You know how much I love montages. You could just do a montage of me saying how much I love montages,
and then swearing, just a beat montage.
That's a great idea.
I'm going to get an early shout out in to Carly MJ. You know a chitty chat.
Hey, she used to always do the Twitter when I had Twitter. I used to always see it, and it's Carly spelt. L-E-Y.
You are the best.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
How do you remember all this?
Because I remember.
She says, hey, Rove and Sam, seeing it's close to Christmas, I want to get in early and say Merry Christmas, Rove, Sam, and Chitty Chatters. I hope you all have a wonderful and safe Christmas and New Year.
Thank you, Carly MJ.
We'll do all of this properly tomorrow. But today on the show, we have Sam's chat with Michael Fassbender.
We do.
And
the poo rave. You've got to do the poo rave.
The poo, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. I actually really liked ladies getting in fights.
Yeah, yes. That was fun.
And we've also...
Chris Brown, Julia
Chris
was
Brown,
in.
Julia Morris, Dilruk Jaisinger, perhaps.
And we had the that guy about the chicken.
Oh, yeah!
The chicken guy.
The chicken. Tim Fung Fung, he is paying $500 for someone to eat chicken for him.
Yes.
Just keep an ear out for Jimmy, guys. That's all
Jimmy
you need to know.
Jimmy from Potts Point.
Here's the significantly edited ketchup.
Roman Sam.
If you want your Christmas gift to be a massive hit this year, give a Prezi digital gift card. So Prezi lets you buy e-gift cards from major retailers sent instantly or scheduled to send later, like on Christmas Day. Better yet, when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win one of 10 $250 gift cards. That's like an awesome early Christmas gift. LTPM 160-1177.
Sam.
Code brown, guys. Code brown.
No!
Shit, you may have missed.
This is a very serious story, and you guys are ruining it with your disgusting little soundbite thing that's happening behind me with the poos and the farts.
Look, it is a scourge on the streets of Sydney. Piles of human poo have been found on the streets of Surry Hills, Darlinghurst, and Erskineville. It is believed that they've been left by... Rough sleepers? And late night partiers who literally have nowhere else to go.
So people.
Bad, you and your lockout laws!
So people are pooing in the streets.
Yep.
That's disgusting.
So.
Like, it's gross enough. It's just gross enough that everyone has to poo.
We've got to get it out, Sam.
I understand it's a very healthy thing and a very natural thing. I have to pick up my dog's poo.
Sure,
so
you
do. I understand it. What? I'm not putting my headphones
Put
on.
Put your headphones on.
I don't want to listen to
Put
this
Put your headphones
trash.
On. You're missing some gravy here.
Fine. I'll put my headphones on.
Poo delicious.
Sam is
Guys,
unimpressed.
It's seriously a really serious thing. What happens if you're walking along in the streets trying to have some dumplings?
And then you step in one.
Hey.
Hit a number.
Don't.
Shit.
Here we go.
Every time I go to the city, I have dumplings.
That's exactly what's happened, Sam. One What's of our happening? Own has been touched by this scourge. He joins us now, Mr. Justin Hammo Hamilton.
Hammo!
Hello. Look, I've got to be honest. I've seen it. I've seen one. I've
now,
seen
can it. I just quickly say, just yes. before you launch into your story, yesterday,
yes.
in the meeting yesterday morning before the show, you said, hey, guys, told your story, and yep. now it's making the news. It's like, mate, we had it first.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Yesterday morning, I'll be honest, everyone poo-pooed me, but it turned out this guy was on the money.
everyone's breaking off a loaf, we're breaking out the stories.
Right. Hey. And it looked, to be honest, it looks like I think the person who's probably doing it is an evil chocolate Dr. Whippy guy, and it was massive because I saw it from my balcony looking into the alley.
Where
in Surry
were you,
Hills.
Mr. Hamilton? Where were you at the time,
mate? I was on the balcony. I may have been wearing underwear and Captain America thongs, and I was minding my own business as a single 44-year-old man does. And I looked down and I thought, "Is that a small moon?" And it turned out it wasn't. It was massive. Like it had its own postcode. Like people are moving in there. It's a suburb between Surry Hills and Darlinghurst. And they laid it in a doorway. Like someone's going to open that door and say, not with those shoes. It's a disaster. So anyway, I live near Moldy Pitts, our producer.
Executive producer, Moldy Pitts.
Yeah, and I know that she walks down there. So I called her to warn her. I said, don't look to your left. Whatever you do, don't look to your left. Like it's massive. Like it's too big for words. And
yeah,
it's
right.
obviously too big for that person to lug around any longer.
So if you had to identify it in a lineup,
yeah.
do you think you could do it at this point?
Yeah, it's the massive one. It's,
now,
it's the massive
so
one that's just
clearly
been dropped.
This is human, right? We're talking
yeah.
human.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a very serious question for you. I know you guys with your comical music.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shat-tacular.
You guys are making a mockery of this. It's a serious thing.
You're right.
Now, Hammo, yes. in your professional witness opinion,
yep.
do you think it's one person just pooing all over the spot?
Come on.
Oh, shit.
Keep it together.
Or do you think it's a whole bunch of people just yeah. pooing?
Just nah. managing to hit the same spot.
I reckon it's someone who's overdosed on Metamucil and they've gone nuts. They've gone crazy.
Do you know Metamucil doesn't work for me?
Oh, really?
Okay. Where are it we just going, makes me bloated. Sam?
Well, you know you're meant to drink
it. I don't know. Oh, I've been doing it wrong. Roven
Sam. Look, I'm just going to flat out say it. If you like chicken and want to make $500, you should just call 1360. You know the number.
131060.
Because we got a guy in the studio right now who is willing to make all your poultry dreams come true. And by that, I mean chicken dreams, not that your dreams don't amount to anything.
Oh.
Okay. His name is Tim Fung. He is the founder of the Airtasker app. And boy, has he got a deal for you. G'day, Tim. How are you?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, hey, Sam. How's it going?
Very good. Now, you put this thing up online that you were looking to find the best chicken pretty much, what, in Sydney?
Yes, that's right. We're looking for the best fried chicken joint in Sydney.
Oh, it's a fried chicken joint.
Oh, it's got to be fried, yeah. Oh.
Of course it's got to be fried, he says.
Not grilled and poached and all other sorts of...
No, don't make it fancy.
Fried chicken's so delicious.
But you're doing this thing where essentially you've put an ad out. It's called the $500 Chicken Run, where you're
Brilliant.
Willing to pay people $500 and all the expenses up front to review 10 chicken places in 10 days... And what's the idea? What are you hoping to get out of this?
So I'm one of the co-founders of Airtasker, and sure. We were talking about this in the office and talking about which is the best fried chicken joint. And my wife is telling me that I've got to lose a bit of the gut off the tummy.
Hey, you look fantastic.
So I think, but 10 fried chickens in 10 days, you've got to be a pretty robust stomach to be able to take
sure.
that and not fill out. So we put it up on Airtasker, and we're looking for someone who's up for the challenge.
And it's because you want to find the best chicken place, right?
For sure. I mean, there's a lot of controversy. You know, people are saying, is it US style, Korean, Lebanese,
yep.
Chinese, Indonesian? There's a lot of controversy around which is the best fried chicken.
I would automatically just go Southern Fried American.
Yeah,
a lot of people are
passionate.
Colonel doesn't make the list. You've got a list already. How have these names come about?
So we surveyed the office and just found out what the guys in the office liked. Yep. But yeah, we've had a lot of people abusing us on the task, saying you have missed out on this, and people get really passionate about the best fried chicken.
Well, we already have a full bank of calls. People just love chicken.
And what? Between that and soda streams, the people
love
it. So, Tim, what are you looking for in a chicken taster?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what qualities do they need
before
to have?
We start putting people to you as a possible contender? What are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for the standout legend who's willing to, man up to this challenge or woman up to this challenge, I suppose.
Good cut. Good recovery.
We've had people there saying, they're vegetarians. They're willing to, throw it all down
for 500.
That's right.
Gee,
you know, I need the money.
Do they have to eat a whole, meal? Is it just taste a piece?
We think that a wing is a good indicator.
Yeah.
You've got to have the whole one from the end all the way.
I'm going to get out and call 131060. Now, you're willing to pay people $500 for this. Let's make it clear.
That's right. But, through the app, people can pitch different amounts that they're willing to do it. For some people have said, I need $1,000 to be able to do this.
Yeah, right.
Other people are lowballing and saying, I'll do this for $300 or I'll do it for $10 because
okay.
I'd love to
now,
do it.
Now,
to try to get themselves in.
That's right.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, 131060, if you love your chicken and you think you've got the chops, pitch Tim and maybe you could be his official chicken taster. 131060. What makes you the perfect chicken tasting candidate? Roven
Sam. Hey, Sezzy.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, just pitch to Tim why you love chicken so much and why you're the perfect person for this job.
Well, in all honesty, this is my first time ever calling a radio station, and I only called because I heard the word chicken, and I was like, oh, my God, I love chicken.
Boom.
And then I realised it's a competition to taste it, so I was like, why not?
Perfect. So do you already have a recommendation, Sarah? Like, what's your go-to as a chook lover?
Oh, there's a franchise that I'm obsessed with, Portuguese Chicken Frangos. They've got one in Smithfield and Petersham. It's got to be one of my top favourite chickens, but honestly, I'm down for the simple as well, like the simple chicken. The chicken wings at KFC, had them last night. It was amazing.
See?
Tim, she sounds like she knows her stuff.
She does, I think, although Frangos, I think, is a grilled chicken. So we have to clarify that it's got to be deep fried.
Oh, you've been so harsh to say.
She just says she likes chicken, Tim.
No, I'm good with that as well. There's
That's
a
right,
few
Sarah.
Joints in Newtown that I go to regularly, and they're amazing. But as I said, I like to keep it simple. So, doing it at home by myself, putting in a little bit of flavour, why not?
Sarah, I love your style. All right.
Oh, mate.
First cab off the rank, done. Rebecca from Monavale, what makes you a great chicken tasting candidate?
Hi, Rove. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Beck.
It might surprise you, but I have been eating chicken my whole life.
Wow. Since fresh out of the womb.
fresh out of the womb, yep. And I like to think that I know a little bit about chicken, whether it be minced, barbecued, or fried.
Put it in bold, fried.
Now, Tim, I've got to ask you a question. In your taste, do they actually have to be an expert? Do you care? Do you just someone who just likes food, would that be enough for you?
We're looking for a combination of passion, but also being a meticulous taster, mm-hmm. but also someone who can document it well. So with the photos and with the copy that's going to make other people be able to recognise that you're a true chicken aficionado.
Oh, there's so many things that go into this. You know, you might just think, oh, I just like chicken, and then no. It's not just that.
It's fairly complex. Hey, Sam,
let's make it very clear. When I said 13, 10, 60, what makes you the perfect chicken tasting candidate? I meant that.
I know.
I was not being frivolous with that. This is deadly serious. Jimmy from Potts Point, good morning.
Jimmy from Potts Point knows what's up.
How's it going? I bloody love chicken, I do.
Now, Jimmy, full disclosure. We saw your name come up on the board. It said Jimmy from Potts Point. Sam called it, just went, I reckon we got this one.
I reckon we do. I could just tell. I could just tell from the name Jimmy from Potts Point.
Jimmy, give us your cell, bro.
Mate, sometimes I rub chicken salt in my hair just so I get that extra little taste in my body, you know?
That's dedication.
If it's finger-licking good, I'm in there.
Oh, Tim, do you have any feedback for Jimmy? Anything you want to know?
Any questions?
Well, that's the first person we've heard who gets really intimate with the chicken, you know.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah, well, I guess if it's raw chicken, it's kind of weird.
Yes.
But if it's fried chicken, it could be.
Chicken, mate, it's a romance.
It is
a romance.
Jimmy, it seems like you know your stuff when it comes to chicken. Are you just a bit of a foodie, Jimmy, or is it chicken specific?
Oh, I just chicken. Well, I love food, mate. Don't get me wrong, but chicken is the one.
Right? Chicken's, do you think? Hey, Jimmy, even if it's not for today, do you reckon you could turn professional with this? What do you think? What do you think your chances are of making a full time job out of this?
Pro chicken eater.
Pro
chicken eater.
Oh, mate. Well, you know, if you can turn your hobby into a job, that's life, isn't it? That's how
life, Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy. Look, I don't know if we've got a soda stream, but it's yours if it's in the prize cupboard. Have we got at least that, Jamie?
Perfect.
Because the people love it.
So hopefully, Tim, we've helped you out a little bit. Tell us where people can find the actual ad so they can apply for it online.
Well, you can go to airtasker.com or download our iOS or Android app.
Yeah.
But if you want to specifically bid on this Chicken Run app, on this Chicken Run task, it's still open. Just Google Airtasker Chicken Run.
Perfect. There we go. Jimmy will be onto it for sure.
Tim, thank you very much for your time. The Chicken Run. Get amongst it. That's fantastic.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Roven Sam.
You had the chance to sit down with, look, a genuine actor heartthrob.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Fassbender.
Absolutely. And I had to do it by myself, Ro.
I couldn't make it. And I love, firstly, well, there's two things. I love Michael Fassbender.
Yes.
A big fan of all his work.
Yep.
And also the movie he's promoting, Assassin's Creed.
Also a huge fan.
Is one of the few games, like proper games, that as an adult I've been able to play.
As a nerdy adult, which you are, fair. That's fair.
Thank you, Sam. Finally, thank you.
It was really, you know, it's really disappointing that you weren't there, but it's okay. I get it. But don't worry, I held the fort.
So
but
I just sent you in there. And if you listen to our chitty chat on our podcast, Rob and Sam Catch Up, we do a little bit of a something at the top of the show. We call it the Chitty Chat. We talked about you going into this, and you said you were a little bit nervous.
Look, I was a little bit nervous, A, because I was doing it by myself, and it was about a movie that was great, but, you know, you can ask all the nerdy questions. I didn't have the nerd there to help me out. And also, Michael Fassbender's very attractive. You get lost in his eyes. Are you joking?
Look, I don't mean to brag, but I'm a little, I obviously have a bit level of experience doing this type of thing, Sam. So it's much easier for me to go in unprepared and just be able to flirt. Like, I know for you it doesn't come as easily, as naturally. Like, I would go in and go, what, do you need any questions? I got no questions, mate. I'm going to flirt for 6 minutes. I'm done. Boom.
Hey.
Can I get some cheese on the way out?
I'm a professional woman, and I'm also taken. I can't be going into interviews flirting with people.
Well, let's find out how she went. Here it is. Sam sitting down with the star of Assassin's Creed and its director. I can't wait.
God.
Actor Michael Fassbender and director Justin Kurzel sat down to chat to Sam about their new blockbuster movie, Assassin's Creed. In the new movie, Fassbender plays a character who can access the memories of an ancient ancestor who was also an assassin. I'd love that ability, but knowing my luck, I'd access my ancestor's memories only to unlock the ability to steal a loaf of bread. That's probably why Sam didn't allow me to come along.
Michael, Justin, thank you so much. Very quickly, before I get into Assassin's Creed, just before I left to come to this interview, our female producing team were like, oh my God, Michael's so attractive. You know, they're bringing up pictures of you on Google and just honestly obsessing over you. Do you ever get used to the idea that mature professional women are losing their minds and acting like teenagers?
As long as they're mature.
Yeah.
I mean, it's odd.
It is odd. They're odd individuals. But Assassin's Creed, it's amazing. I watched it yesterday. Visually, it's incredible. Obviously, based off the video game. Justin, you worked on Snowtown, incredible Aussie film, Macbeth, and now this one. All very different genres. What did you find the biggest challenge working on something like Assassin's Creed?
Oh, I just think the scale of it. I think nothing kind of prepares you for shooting for 92 days. You just kind of get to 30 and think, my God. And I think just the concept of it, how do you kind of take this, you know, pretty complex game and set of ideas and story and kind of simplify it down to its kind of core. But I think it was the scale. It never prepares you to kind of shoot, you know, in this sort of way. And doing the action sequences the way we did, which were all for real, was an added kind of level of difficulty. So all and above.
Yeah, and the action scenes are unbelievable. How much of the stunts did you do yourself, Michael?
As much as I could. Obviously, you know, jumping from building to building and the leap of faith was a bit tricky because it was 120 foot.
He did want to do it, though.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not from my you didn't want to do it, but I was encouraging
you. Not from 120 foot. do a sort of a smaller version of that, but yeah, it's you know, anything where I could sort of, I guess, get injured and knock us back and we wouldn't be able to film. But all the fights, pretty much, I would say 90 to 95% of the fighting, and then whatever I could do in terms of the parkour. But we had a, you know, fantastic stunt team.
Yeah.
That really, you know, they went for it. I mean, we lost a couple through injury.
We lost a few,
along the way because it was so intense. Yeah,
you really? Know, like, they just get injured and then
well, yeah,
see
you know,
later.
You're doing a jump from, you know, whatever it is, you know, 40 meters across and coming, you know, in two buildings, sort of one sort of, you know, tiered above the other, and you're landing hard on your ankles, so a couple of ankles went and we had a couple of injuries along the way, didn't we?
What was the worst injury on set?
A broken ankle. Lots of broken ankles.
So obviously they'd have to sign a thing saying, oh, they can't sue you guys.
Well, I think that's kind of the nature of their job.
Yeah, great.
They sort of get injured, they get injured. I don't know what sort of insurance policies they have. But what's interesting is that, you know, not a lot of people know this, is that assassins, a lot of them walk with a limp. Because of the parkour, you know, the broken ankle is a common injury amongst assassins.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Your meniscus disc, your Achilles, the common Assassin Creed kind of. I'm sure there's an infirmary there in the 15th century of assassin injuries.
There's a fun fact. I heard Hugh Jackman, he said on when you were doing X-Men, apparently when you were to come out of the trailer, he would play blurred lines. Is that true?
Not really.
It's not true.
But it makes for a good enough story, I suppose.
It's a good story.
Hugh Jackman, people don't know this either, as well as the broken ankles with assassins, but he's a compulsive liar.
You know, he's a friend of the show. I'm disappointed in him.
Friends can be liars too.
Did you have any on-set traditions on Assassin's Creed?
We had the most epic, extraordinary game of paintball. In the middle of the Almeria Desert, on a Sergio Leone kind of Western set. It's quite frightening how amazing Michael is at paintball.
No, I got killed.
And how intimidating he is with a paintball gun.
I remember you did your ankle in.
Everyone had these heroic injuries.
You were sitting in the saloon.
I was sitting
beer in one hand and
drinking
paintball.
Vodka with my hamstring done with a paintball outfit.
That sounds like a great day in the office.
Paintball gun on the other hand.
It was. We needed it.
You shouldn't drink in paintball, by the way.
That's actually very high on my to-do list. But Michael and Justin, thank you so much. Assassin's Creed, it's brilliant. I really enjoyed it, so thank you.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
And guys, Assassin's Creed is in cinemas January 1st. So on news day, you can go out to the movies.
Great job, Sam.
Thanks, mate.
Rove and Sam. The brilliant duo of Julia Morris and Dr. Chris Brown return to the show to talk to us about the upcoming season of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, beginning in early 2017 for Channel 10. They are definitely going to take a hit without warning the jungle, desperately attempting to find phone coverage 24/7.
I mean, Telstra will just never be the same again. Julia Morris, Dr. Chris Brown, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you. You guys look so great.
How is it even possible?
You're wearing the most amazing dress.
Do you know why? It's the colour, I think, has just given me back 5 years.
It's popping.
Yep. It's that
popping.
And the Botox. I reckon I could pass for 40.
Now, you've got to get used to this. And then throw it away because you're about to... When do you head off? You're about to get all sweaty and dirty again.
Mid-January, yeah. I think it is. Oh, that doesn't stop it, by the way. Like, no, 45-degree African heat, humidity, bugs, dirt, does not stop this haute couture.
This crouching tiger hidden fun bag.
Do you head to the same part of Africa every time?
Like, yes,
you guys,
we do,
it's home base now, isn't it?
It's because, I guess, the location starts to live on in infamy in a way because, you know, you have certain trials, like, you know, for example, Lorena in the Pit of Snakes.
Yes.
Brilliant.
That, you know, you want to go Fantastic. Back to and somehow give them a more evil twist. And so little parts.
You went pretty evil last time.
Yeah, we can go
time
more.
Last time was really, like, I really felt for the celebs in there. I was just I did too. Oh, man.
And up close and personal, I think, oh, no, they're never going to speak to me again.
Yeah.
Then I have to go upstairs and just rip into them up in the studio.
Now, there seems to be a lot of hookups that happen with
your show. Well, apart from Chris and I, obviously. Oh, we're waiting. I'm hoping this is the year for romance. Yeah.
Do you know think what? So?
I bet you they'll put in a whole bunch of, like, attractive single people. That's what you guys are going to do, isn't it?
Well, in actual fact, you should put in unattractive.
Who would have thought Barry Hall?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
That deep voice, though. He's like the Barry White of AFL.
I would have totally kissed Barry Hall on the lips if I was single.
You used to have a little thing.
I'm mad for Barry Hall.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is why I can't be guy. I just can't pick him.
I reckon what you do is you put unattractive single people in there because we're always ready for a go.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas if they're too attractive, everyone's like, oh, God, make
but
an appointment.
Lauren Brandt can choose. She can choose whoever she wants, though. She's young and attractive, and then she's got Barry Hall.
Her body is exquisite. But you know what? There was quite a connection between them in the jungle as buddies, and there was a moment that I remember in particular where she was shaving his head one morning down by the creek, and he was asking her about her fiancé at the time, and she was asking him about why his marriage broke down. There just seemed to be this lovely warmth between them. So when it came out that they were seeing each other, it didn't feel like a huge leap to me.
Yeah, I think Barry was angling, to be fair. Like, he was trying to sort of see how solid the relationship was while he was having his head shaved.
Get him with the old head shaved.
I know. We've all done it. I mean, we often talk about it.
Well, look, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to test the relationship of Julia Morris and Dr. Chris Brown, see how well they know each other, having spent so much time in the jungle.
Deep love, doll.
Rove and Sam.
And Sam, you are busting.
Guys,
busting
every single time Dr. Chris Brown comes into the studio, he's doing his stuff, he's doing his promo. I get that, I respect that, but I always have to ask the dog question. I heard that apparently when owners laugh at their dogs when they come home from the groomers, they get depression and anxiety. Is that true?
Well, look, it is. So what happens is, for the entire day, they've been out of their comfort zone. They've been in the groomers. They've been sort of poked, prodded. They've had the clippers sliding over them. They know something's changed, but they never see the mirror. It's not like the hairdresser where they give you the view from behind, view from the front.
Yeah.
So they get home, like, waiting to know what's happened. And they walk in the door, and you point, and you laugh, and then Instagram, like, how ridiculous they look. And they become the center of attention. But they can pick, like, positive energy, and they can pick when they're really being laughed at.
So toughen up.
It has now been proven they will go into a period of depression for days after. I see dogs quite regularly who are no longer eating and no longer looking to go outside for walks.
Does the haircut make them look fat?
But think about your likes, though. Think about the amount of likes you get,
Sam. Always do. As soon as Rocky comes home or I pick him up, I'm always like, you look so silly. And my partner and I, we film Rocky and send it to each other and they're like, ha.
But Puppy is still becoming in for snuggles. So it's not just laughing and then you go in the corner
just
and
keep him off Instagram.
Oh,
that's what he loves. Just keep him off Instagram.
Pause, send.
So if you're going to laugh, go to another room. And let it all out.
Oh, he's so cute.
Just
sounds like my love life. Chris, Julia, you guys spend a lot of time in the jungle together. Let's see how well you know each other here. We have a few questions to put your little relationship to the test. I'll start this one with you, Brownie.
Yep.
How old was Julia when she first appeared on the TV show New Faces?
Okay, well, it was, I'm going to say it's about 20 years ago. She reassures me she's 24 now, so she was 4 years old. 4 years old, were you
it's
four?
It's pretty close.
Child star?
It's close.
You're 17,
I was 17.
Oh, cutie patootie.
What song was she singing for bonus points? Come on, remember the Logies, think of the Logies.
Was it a bit of Whitney Houston?
No.
Holding out for a hero.
Holy, Bonnie Tyler.
A hero. Oh. Yes.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Okay, Julia, over to you.
Bonnie Tyler.
Okay. Oh. Okay, here we go. Where was Chris born?
I want to say the Hunter region. Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia.
She's got it.
Mate, well done. That's
someone
fantastic.
Cares. Yeah, I'll just throw one out there. Who is Julia's nemesis?
You've got an evil laugh there.
It is.
You have to be careful.
We look very similar. She would know that she's my nemesis. Shit.
This is like trying to guess who's going into the jungle.
Well, it's like guess who. Man. Put down all the tabs of all the people that don't look like her.
Mate, we're offering at nine. I'll give you three.
Okay, so brunette,
Rachel
Qantas, and what's another hint? And slim.
Qantas?
Yes, sir.
Qantas.
There are your hints. Fly. There are your hints.
John Travolta?
No, sir. Although
depending
could
on
be highly likely.
Sure, sure. Well, who was it,
Joy? Miranda Kerr is my nemesis. Duh.
You guys do look similar. I don't know what I was thinking.
It's like clonage.
One last one for you, Julia. What magazine does Chris write his column Pet Page for?
I never really get to the magazines because I read all that information online last week.
I'll give you that one. Yes, it's actually Women's Day. And all the pets have baby bumps, I believe, at the moment.
Yeah, totally. or if the magazine is to be believed, I'm with child again.
Mm. Yes. Congratulations.
Which is its own miracle.
And dating Carl Stefanovic as well. Congratulations.
I've kissed Carl Stefanovic on the lips. I've got no problem with that at all.
You'd be embarrassed if you weren't on Carl's list at the moment.
Yeah.
You'd think, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I've been naughty and nice. I should be on everyone's list this Christmas.
Now, at this point, you're probably not allowed to give us, of course, names, but do we have any clues as to who's headed in the jungle soon?
Every single one of Carl Stefanovic's girlfriends. One by one, that'll fill the 12.
Great.
And then he comes in last day and picks one.
He's the mystery box.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
There is a magical combination of people you simply wouldn't expect come on to this type of show.
I'm hearing US sitcom actor.
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Yes. Yeah.
This is one everyone seems to be very excited about.
Okay.
Around the Channel 10 building, they're sort of puffing their chest out over this.
Yeah, they're doing laps of honor.
Pop diva.
A pop diva. That could be anyone.
Could be me.
Yeah.
It could also everyone's been talking a little bit about there's an international comedian.
Have that though. That could be someone from here who goes international.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you go over to Manly, you're overseas.
Arch Barker.
Yeah,
sure. All right. You reckon?
Sam, I think you might be on the money.
I'm sure we'll see night one when it all happens.
And also, I should mention Julia's going to be back doing stand up for next year, Lift and Separate.
The Lift and Separate tour, where we find out how to move into this second half of our lives.
And Dr. Chris Brown sticking his sticking his digits.
I haven't signed on for that show yet, bro.
Dogs' anuses all around.
Oh, my God. Even when we got there, we were nervy.
You can see where I was headed, everyone. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Next year, Channel 10, Julia Morris, Chris Brad.
Thanks so much, guys.
Rove and Sam.
13 10 60. I want to know if you're a lady who's been in a fight.
Oh.
I saw the most incredible footage from the States of two women. You've seen this video. Two women, one spot.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe spot. I'm thinking of the other one. So here's how it works. It's a busy shopping centre car park, as we all know. We've all been here before. One spot available, but only two cars. So what do? We fight over it. And these two ladies, it got so heated, one has dragged the other out of the car.
Whoa.
There's been fisticuffs. There's been a bit of, booting bit of kicking going on.
Argy budgy.
You'd think that was it. No, they get back into the cars. Then they start smashing into each other's vehicles.
What? So the cars are smashing?
It like becomes like a demolition derby.
Oh, boy.
And then spills out onto the street as one of them just goes, well, forget it, I'm out of here. And the other one says, oh, no, you isn't.
Uh-oh.
And out they go. There's like one of them tries to get out of the car. The door is open as she tries to get out. The other woman goes hurtling past to, A, I guess, try to hit the woman, but secondly, just go, I'm going to take your door off. How do you like them apples?
That's frightening.
It was intense and quietly hilarious. Here it is in audio form. Get a license plate.
Oh, my goodness.
Gee, the revving of that engine.
That is unbelievable.
And I got to say, I was quietly impressed.
Yeah.
Because you sit there thinking sometimes females aren't given their due when it comes to, look, when you hear, oh, there was a fight, you go, right, let me guess.
Two dudes.
What happened?
Yep. Fighting over a lady.
The blokes are at it again. Testosterone gets fired up. I get it.
Beating of the chest.
But ladies, you can do it too.
Oh, don't think you
can't get in amongst it too with the best of them.
Mate, I'm not a fighter. So I like look at these arms. They're like little
toothpicks. They're great arms.
Look, I have been working out.
You've been toned.
But they're like toothpicks. So I would love to hear from the ladies who can, you know, have done a little bit of, you know, rough and tumble, as
and
they
maybe
say.
Maybe it's just, you know, drink thrown in the face or something.
Classic.
Or shoving match. I mean, let's be honest, most blokes, if you've ever really seen a guy have a fight, usually it's just a bit of standing around.
Mm.
It's like two seagulls having a fight over a chip. Like, no one actually does anything. There's just a lot of bravado.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, come at me then. You want a piece of this? Yeah, well, come on then. Well, I do. Well, then why don't you take it? Well, why don't you offer it first? I'll offer it if you take it. What, should we? Let's just go on a date. That's what it sounds like. So I'm not saying it needs to be, and then I punched her and she kicked and in cars. But just any fight at all, any fight, ladies of Sydney, let me know you've done it because I know you have. Make me proud.
The hair pulling.
131060. Are you a woman who's been in a fight?
They do.
Yes, you are. You know what? I got prizes. You want them? You got them. Whatever it is. There's a sheet here. Call up. Pick your prize if you're a woman who's been in a fight.
Roven Sam. Natasha in Wilton. Good morning, lovely.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Now, have you been in a bit of a punch-on?
Yeah, I walked outside of a nightclub one night a few years back, and there was a guy hassling some girls for their numbers, and, you know, they didn't want to give it. So I walked up and just said to him, hey, mate, leave the girls alone, please. Just go back inside and enjoy your night. And he called me some very nasty, nasty things.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did. And I clocked him one. And he fell to the ground and didn't get back up.
Yay.
And yes. Yes.
Oh, good my God. You.
Natasha, what do you want? Let me see. Natasha, do you want a Footlocker voucher? Do you want a skin? How about Napoleon Purtis pack? You know what?
Oh, that sounds great.
A Napoleon Purtis pack. Suck it.
There you go, Natasha.
I love it.
That's a great little prezi for you.
Great.
Maddie and Epping, what happened? Were you in a bit of a fight?
Hi, by the way.
Hey,
hi,
Maddie.
You seem a little bit ashamed of yourself.
Hey, don't be ashamed.
No, I was pretty proud of myself, to
okay.
be honest.
Now we're talking.
So I was out in the cross on my 18th birthday, and I stepped back. I bumped this girl. She was not happy. She said, oh, I apologize for spilling my drink. And I said, I didn't spill your drink. So next minute, she throws the rest of the drink in my face.
Old school.
And I was pretty annoyed. I kind of went to go towards her, but my friends quickly pulled me off to the bathroom. And when I'm in there, my eyes kind of start setting on fire because she'd thrown vodka in my face.
Oh, out to hours.
Which, yeah, kind of hurt.
Yeah.
And so at that minute, I kind of decided, no, I'm going to find her. And I kind of went up to her and I kind of punched at her. And then I was still trying to get her as security pulled me out of the club.
Boom, oh, Maddie.
Maddie.
You're a bloody
legend. And I was like, why'd you ruin my birthday?
Yeah. I mean, my eye's on fire, but my birthday's ruined.
Great story, though. Yeah. You won't forget that one. Okay, no. you can have a $100 Footlocker voucher, Maddie. There you
go. That sounds fantastic, Rove.
Bunch of bloody rippages deserve it, and I'm scared not to give it to her.
Joanne in Blacktown wrapping it up for us. Have you been in a bit of a fight?
Oh, sure have, guys. I was driving along, a little bit of a road rage sort of incident. So
I've accidentally
cut someone off. It made him a little bit, bit grumpy. So he's got out of the car at the set of lights, and he's stormed up to my car, and I've got out, and I'm literally chest height.
Yeah.
And he's just looked at me, and I just kept slapping him. He just walked up to me, and I thought, oh, well, you're going to get out of your car. I'm going to slap you.
I think there's something about the slap that people don't know how to take it. It's so out of the blue, and it's
and
like if someone
shocked.
Threw a punch. Yeah, it's shock. You're right.
Yeah.
it was priceless to watch anyway.
Joanne, I love you laughing at it. It's my favourite part of any
Joanne,
story.
We've got Napoleon Purtis packs. I'm going to give you two of them.
Hey, that's fantastic.
Two of them just for you, Joanne.
Wow.
There you go. Congratulations.
Slap happy.
Rove and Sam. One of the rising stars of the Australian comedy scene is Dilruk Jai Singh, who everyone has fallen in love with his regular spots on Have You Been Paying Attention? And now he's in Sydney for the Comedy Store tonight with his solo show, Sri Wanker. Dil stated recently that he'd rather be a broke comedian than a rich accountant. Well, the good thing about being a comedian, Dil, is that you'll be able to earn hundreds of dollars a year, so you're well on your way. G'day, Dil.
Hello, Rob and Sam. How are you?
Oh, we're so great.
I am so excited. I was really excited to actually listen to your last segment about all the fighting. My God. There's some scraps going on in Sydney.
I know, it's
you
brilliant.
You seem like one of the most jolly people I've ever met.
Well, yeah, I think that's
have you ever been
true.
In a fight?
No, I haven't. The closest thing I've come to was this big brawl. Like, it was actually like 10, 15 people, I think, just going for it. And I'm just standing in the corner clapping and commentating. I'm like, oh, he's gone. 2 to 3 weeks minimum. And this one guy saw me just being, being like a smart ass. So he comes over, grabs me by my collar, clenches his fist and goes to deck me. But then he sees how scared I looked. So he unclenched his fist and slapped me. Like, it was so embarrassing. Like, he didn't want to give me the dignity of a punch. So he goes, here you go. Here's a little slap. That's the closest.
I got slapped by a road rage guy who, wow. I don't know, I think he thought I cut him off. I'm not sure what happened, but he was mad at me. And as we've pulled up at the lights, he just got out of his car. And when someone gets out of the car at the lights and starts storming up to your vehicle, it's not to say, hey, I really love what you do on the telly.
Yeah.
I started to wind my window up thinking this is not good. And this is back in the days when you sort of crank it.
The actual window rather than the button.
So he still had time to reach in, but because he couldn't sort of reach and swing a punch, he's just kind of stuck his arm in, and because all he can do is just move from the elbow down, he just kind of slapped me.
It's like a slapping windmill.
But then it was up to me to sort of roll the window down a bit so he could get his arm back out and get back into his car.
Yeah, you're like, oh, actually, here's some room. Oh, wow.
Imagine if he was a fan.
By the way,
and then he just rides off.
Now, your show, Sri Wanker, I love the title.
Yes, I'm actually quite surprised we were allowed to say it on at this time of the hour.
Well, yeah.
It's because it's spelled W-A-N-K-A.
If it was E-I,
we probably couldn't have.
Now, you would find that in Australia, though, it's almost like a badge of honour. Like, it could be a term of affection.
Well, that's what I was hoping for. But then some people did think that I was sort of, making fun of my home country. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. Like, Sri Lanka is my favorite place in the world. It's me that I'm actually referring to. Because the whole show is basically a series of all some of the dumb stuff that I've got up to since moving to Australia. And some of it doesn't even sound believable. Look at some of the stories and go, no, I can't believe that happened to the one person.
And how has the rise been for you? I mean, we did a gig only a couple of weeks ago. And that, at the time, you were saying was the biggest audience you've ever played in front of. You're a regular now, and Have You Been Paying Attention? Everybody loves you. How's it sort of been? Well, sure.
I was going to say, well, interesting you say everybody loves you. I was actually, before I actually appeared on the first episode of Have You Been Paying Attention, I replaced Sam Pang for the week. Mm. But some people didn't understand how it works. Maybe Sam had to go on holiday or whatever, but they just started sending me online hate even before I had even recorded the episode. I was like, oh, this, give us a crack. Give us a fair go, please.
The internet's not a very forgiving place.
But have you found it a fun thing though? Has your rise to fame been an incredible ride?
I'm very uncomfortable with phrases like that, obviously, because in the grand scheme of things, it's quite for me it's a big deal. But I think the average person wouldn't know who I am. But I do enjoy the idea that, because that's some, like, for example, that particular show, Have You Been Paying Attention, is something that I absolutely used to tune into each week, and it was kind of cool then to go, hey, that's me coming up next week. So
yeah, cool.
So that's been really fun.
Well, keep it up, and you too will have a stranger slap you in the face through a car window, and that's how you know you've made it. You can catch Dil tomorrow night at the Comedy Store. Sri Wanka, Dil Rukshasinghe. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, guys. Wake
up, kids. Rove and Sam.
That was radio gravy.
Like Rove and Sam on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @Rove and Sam.